What's up, Albuquerque? This is Lindsay.
And this is Ryan.
Welcome to Season 5 of What's Up, ABQ.
What's up, Albuquerque? This is Lindsay.
And this is Ryan. And today we have...
Ramon Torres. I'm an employment program manager here at Goodwill Industries.
So Ramon, tell us a little bit about the programs that Goodwill offers the community. I know a lot of people think that Goodwill is just a thrift store. Obviously, it's not. Tell us a little bit about what Goodwill is.
Sure. First of all, let me just tell you, start by talking a little bit about Goodwill's mission. Our mission at Goodwill is to be able to provide a community-based social services, skills training, as well as job development services. So within the scope of that mission, we have several veteran programs. One veteran program that helps with housing. Veterans are either homeless or at imminent risk of homelessness. We help veterans to find gainful employment, and we also help veterans with a program that is a paid training program called TrialWorks for retail warehouse training. We also have a program that helps seniors develop on-the-job skill sets. Many of our seniors miss the computer age, and quite frankly, it really hurts their employability, so this is a paid on-the-job training program for seniors. Then we also offer a production assistant training program, a way for an individual to kind of break into the movie film industry. That industry is heavily unionized, so the production assistant training allows someone to get a foot in the door. We also have a good skills training, which is kind of on hold. It's in-person computer-based training that we provide here at Goodwill Industries. Computer basics, intro to Word, intro to Excel, and a few other job search-related types of training. And another program, of course, is to help people find employment anywhere in the community, not just at Goodwill. And we tend to help with all the things people tend to not like about the job search, resumes, interview talking points, connecting them with employers, which websites have most value. And so those are the programs that we have here at Goodwill Industries of New Mexico.
So if I were saying, let's just say I'm walking into this building and I'm looking for a job and I'm like, you know, I heard Goodwill could help me. I'm walking in. What does the process look like and what can somebody expect when they walk in to get help finding a job?
Well, we always try and work primarily by appointment. It allows us to dedicate time to people. But if they do walk in, we do get everybody to fill out an application for services, which is clearly indicates what kind of services they're looking for. And at that point, we'll direct them to the right department, the right organization that can help them. Within getting the scope of getting employment, what we'll do is we'll just simply schedule an appointment to get to know somebody. We have to know a little bit about their work history, their background, education, training, in order to provide a platform for us to be able to move them forward. And so that's generally a short half-hour appointment. And then from that point, they'll be assigned to one of our career specialists, a person who will work one-on-one with them until they get employed.
How did you first get involved with Goodwill?
Well, I was in corporate America for 30 years. And corporate America can be a grind, especially at the level I was at. You know, lots of hours, you know, very few days off. And so I wanted to do something that I felt in a manner that I could give back to the community. And so I've been a hiring manager for 30 years, well, actually 38 now. And to be quite frank, I thought that would be a good way to give back to the community. I've noticed that within all the interviews that I've done in my lifetime, that people really struggle with interview talking points, resumes. They really don't know where to go. They don't know what, for example, resume format template they should use. They don't know what they should be saying in response to different interview questions. So I thought this was a way to help people develop, help people grow. And getting a job can be one of the most stressful things a person can go through because there's finances involved and bills to be paid and so forth. So I thought this would be a great way to give back to the community. So I met someone at a Goodwill job fair or at a job fair, and they just happened to be from Goodwill. They told me what they did, a career specialist, and I said, well, I'd like to do that. And so I've been here ever since.
So I know that living in New Mexico, a lot of times people will say, well, I have a criminal background or I have some blemishes on my background. I'm not sure if anybody would hire me. Or maybe they're coming into society again from, they're transitioning back into society from different things. What would you say to people that are worried that they are unemployable?
Well, I think that when you look at anybody looking for employment, everybody certainly has their limitations, and some of them more significant than others. But the important thing to know is that there are opportunities for everybody. And one of the things that I've noticed that people tend to do within the job search is they tend to focus more on those limitations rather than their strengths, their skills. And the reality is, I always tell everybody, always remember that as an employer, I'll never hire you for your limitations, I'll only hire you for your strengths. So you have to be able to effectively communicate why you would be right for a role. And while there may be limitations, for example, a criminal blemish may limit certain types of opportunities, it does not mean that there are other types of opportunities out there. So in that respect, I think that there's opportunities for everybody. And here at Goodwill, we help them understand what those opportunities look like, but also help them identify different skills and strengths that will help them move towards those opportunities and take advantage of the opportunities that do exist.
For those, you know, that think Goodwill, which Goodwill? How many different Goodwills are there in Albuquerque?
Okay, well, it's a great question. So first of all, Goodwill, everybody thinks of Goodwill and they think of the stores, they think of the donations.
Right.
And so we have Goodwill Industries of New Mexico has 15 different stores throughout the state of New Mexico. And within those stores, most of them have what are called services departments. So we certainly appreciate the donations. We certainly appreciate the purchases because that's really the fuel that makes the engine run for the services programs. So most of the stores you can walk into and there will be a service individual that can help guide you. But if not, the store, there are one or two stores that don't have services. They will certainly direct you to a location where we can be able to provide those services. So that's what I would encourage people to do is take advantage of those.
I know that a lot of people have asked me in the past, you know, or they've mentioned in the past, you know, well, so where does the money go? When I buy something at Goodwill and they're saying services, where does that money go? How much of that money goes back into services in the community and kind of how does that generate income for the services that you're providing?
Well, generally, I haven't seen the numbers for the last fiscal year. Generally, we've been between 88 and 92 cents on a dollar that's reinvested into Goodwill itself. And so I encourage people to look at any nonprofit, and the really good nonprofits will always reinvest at least 60 cents on a dollar. So those funds will go to, we certainly still have to pay the retail team to be able to process the donations, to be able to develop that revenue stream. But then we also have to be able to provide the services that we offer at Goodwill. Some of our programs are federally funded, but each of them typically requires us to kick in some of Goodwill's own money to be able to make sure that it's a very robust program. So we are a nonprofit. So our goal is to, you know, we certainly want to maximize retail sales by offering good product, good quality service, and be of service to the community in that respect. But we also want to be in a position to, that people understand what we do with that revenue, which means it goes to the services programs that I just described a little bit earlier. And you can check out any of those services programs. You can go to our website at GoodwillNM, short for New Mexico, GoodwillNM.org, under free services to get a good feel for what we actually do with that money. We also are a very good steward of the money, the products that were provided. So we do our best to keep merchandise out of landfills. So we do our best to recycle. We're one of New Mexico's biggest recyclers. And that not only includes, you know, the stuff that you would want to keep out of a landfill, but also electronic equipment.
From Goodwill's perspective and from your perspective, what are some of the challenges you see New Mexicans facing right now?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it you hear about regularly in the news every day, whether it be crime. But there's also, you know, educational challenges. We're one of the states that doesn't have a really, you know, high educational level. And that can impact the types of opportunities that people have for their own futures. So that is certainly one of the things that we tend to struggle with here in the state of New Mexico. Obviously, we do have quite a bit of drug and alcohol use. And so that also can be a barrier for people if they do get involved in drugs and alcohol, because often that can lead to violence. So those are probably three of the biggest problems, which would be crime, education, and then, quite frankly, drugs and alcohol. But despite those challenges, I do think New Mexico has a lot of great opportunities. There still are opportunities for growth. And so I do think that there are opportunities for people to change and to move forward with their lives. I often tell people, you know, education doesn't have to start at age 18, stop at age 18. It can happen at any time in a person's life to be able to build a stronger foundation from which you can grow. You can find different program services that can help with the different challenges people face in life, whether it is, you know, sobriety or even, you know, violence. There's case managers, there's a lot of resources that can help people overcome those types of situations.
I know that we had kind of talked about just now with what you see as a struggle in New Mexico, but I wanted to kind of touch on employers and then people looking for jobs. I wanted to kind of see what are some of the biggest things you see employers struggling with here in New Mexico, and then what are some of the challenges that you see? I'm having a hard time talking today.
Every time.
I know. I get tongue-tied. I get so excited and then I get tongue-tied. What are some of the challenges that you see facing people searching for jobs and then also employers looking to hire in New Mexico? Because it is a very specific demographic here in New Mexico. We're a very unique place.
First part of the question, what do employers struggle with? They struggle with, and I think this is throughout the United States, you hear a lot of different perspectives around STEM, the STEM types of education training. And that is not unusual, not only in the United States, but here in New Mexico. And it could be skilled trades as well. So whether it's electricians, plumbers, carpenters, etc., things that support the infrastructure within a state. But then there's also been a very different dynamic ever since COVID. You know, when COVID first hit, everybody became unemployed. And then as a result of COVID, a lot of people received a lot of different public benefits. And as a result of that, there are a lot of unfilled jobs right now. So I think employers are very, very willing right now to ramp up the numbers that they have, numbers of people that they have employed. And they're simply having trouble finding not just qualified candidates, but candidates in general. That being said, from the other side of the coin, from the job seeker side of the coin, there was a time where I think that it was a struggle maybe to get employment because there weren't as many opportunities. And now a person can take advantage of the marketplace. It is definitely a job seeker friendly environment. And even people who might have been, if you will, a marginal candidate in the past for different types of employment are now a candidate for the various types of employment. So I think it's a great time for a person to be out looking for employment. I do think still, though, that people just need to be aware that even though there's a lot of really low-hanging fruit, in other words, you can go out and get a job anywhere pretty quickly, you want to look at something that would help you develop your own career path and where you want to go to be able to change your lifestyle. So something that offers professional and financial growth, not just necessarily low-hanging fruit, but something that offers career development opportunities, financial growth opportunities. And there are those that are available. And then the other interesting thing about being in such a great transition, COVID and a lot of people being out of employed for at least a short time, people who are out of employed or transitioning should also look at the opportunities to develop other skill sets that could help them to develop in other ways and other job type opportunities. There's a great term that's been coined over the last year called the Great Resignation. And many, many people have taken time to evaluate where they are with the type of employment they want and yet where they want to be. So there's a lot of government funding through grants that can certainly help someone get to where they want to go if they so chose to do that as well.
What do you think the sorts of questions, you know, you brought up the Great Resignation. That's great because I was just about to bring that up. Somebody's like, okay, maybe I want to make a change in what I'm doing, or maybe I need to make a change because, you know, I'm looking for a job right now. What sorts of questions should they ask themselves when kind of embracing that kind of wave of change that we're seeing right now?
Well, I think for sure the first thing they have to ask themselves is what would they really be happy doing long term? And while that may seem like a strange comment, a strange remark, the reality is you really need to love what you do. And when your heart is in something, you'll always do well, you'll always grow. And I think you'll also be able to serve whatever it is that that business provides services to. Because generally, the reason that you're in business is to provide some sort of service or product to another entity. So I think when your heart's in it, you will definitely grow. You'll help the business grow. The people that the businesses serve will also grow and feel that positive energy. So that's what I would do to look at first. But then you look at a five-year time horizon, where you're going to be 5 years from now, and then you kind of back into what kind of education training will that require? What changes might I need to make in my life in order to, I can't just say I want to do something if it does require, for example, an IT certification. I can't just say I want to do that without having that education training base. So you kind of back into it and look at what you would need to do to develop the platform that will enable you to accomplish that type of a goal.
So I think about Goodwill, and I've looked at the website several times, and I see a lot of different opportunities for people to take advantage of. What are some of the opportunities that are coming up that Goodwill is offering the community within the next month or so?
Oddly enough, part of helping people find jobs is connecting them with employers. And so we have, as an example, an interview event coming up for an organization, a health agency called Genesis Healthcare. So if a person wanted to get into that type of work environment, they have an opportunity to get in an interview to be able to earn an opportunity for employment. We also have career fairs that we're hosting once every couple of weeks here at Goodwill, where we bring 13 different community employers in to the Goodwill on San Mateo here in the Albuquerque area, so that they can actually talk to hiring managers, find out about the different opportunities that they have. Sometimes people don't realize that companies may have other opportunities that are different from what they're really known for. So I encourage people to take advantage of those. We also have a production assistant training program that will take place on the 25th and 26th of March here at Goodwill. You do have to apply online, get interviewed to make sure that you're right for that type of production assistant role. But that training will be later this month as well. So those are some of the different opportunities. And then, of course, we are just like any other employer. We need people too. So we have employment opportunities at Goodwill, whether it be in our retail locations, our warehouse locations. We even have services positions available, positions with our services department that serve the community. So I encourage people to take advantage of those as well.
We are at our about our halfway point. So you're not the only one who can't talk. So, you know, sometimes it happens to me too. So we will take a quick break and we will be right back.
If you want a new job, Goodwill has a free service to help you find it. Need to learn interview skills or create a resume? We offer free training too. And we have a huge network of employer partners across New Mexico. Local companies that are hiring right now. Ready for a new job? Don't hesitate. A perfect job is waiting for you. And help to find it is free. Goodwill it.
And we're back.
Awesome.
Right? Quick break. So go ahead and reintroduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Ramon Torres. I'm an employment program manager with Goodwill Industries.
So we are sitting here at Goodwill at the Metro office off of San Mateo. I think it's 5000 San Mateo. And this is kind of where the heart of Goodwill resides for the city. Tell us a little bit about Goodwill and sort of the other locations around the city and what people can expect in those locations.
We have a number of different locations throughout the Albuquerque area, and you can always check those out on our website. We do have a couple of very unique concepts as far as the stores go. So we do have a standard Goodwill store where we sell a lot of gently used clothing, furniture, you know, kitchenware, etc. So I encourage people to take advantage of those opportunities and shop. You'll never know what you're going to find because everything that we sell is a result of a donation of some sort. But that being said, we also have a venue we call the Clearance Corner that is here next to the main store that we have here on 5000 San Mateo Northeast. And we offer some really, really bargain prices on all sorts of different stuff. You know, people can buy clothing by the pound and stuff. It is very, very busy. We tend to operate like a Black Friday kind of concept where we have to issue numbers to people to make sure that they walk in an orderly fashion and such. But our goal is to sell everything we can because we do commit to the people that donate that we're going to sell the merchandise. So if we can't sell it in our stores, often we'll move it to our clearance corner to be able to really kind of maximize the opportunities if a product has not really sold. We also have a location over there on Alameda near Coors, which we call Good Threads. So we take a little bit of the better types of clothing donations and we put it into that location to kind of offer different values for people. People can take advantage of the quality of the merchandise at that store as well. And then several of the stores will also have computers available for people to use for the job search. So if someone doesn't have a computer, they can come in and utilize the computer for the job search, putting in applications so they can improve their odds of success to get employed.
What are the sorts of things that you see maybe on the horizon for Albuquerque and New Mexico that Goodwill wants to rise to the occasion to meet?
You stole my question.
Ha-ha.
Well, you know, we want to grow. We're like any other company, and we're always looking to provide different types of services. So, and also in not only provide different types of services, but also adjust the way we provide services to meet the needs of the community. So we will restart or reboot, if you will, our Good Skills Training Program, which is generally the computer-based training program. And then we're also going to move our home office coming up in May to a location in the Old Town area. So those are some things that will help us and enable us to grow even further. But those would be the things that we have just right on the near horizon. And then just always keep abreast of where we're at on our goodwillnm.org website, any other types of changes that come up. For example, we did have a casting event here at Goodwill just this last weekend where one of the local casting companies was looking for people to be able to be in the film industry, and they could come and have their picture taken and potentially be taken on in a film or a movie.
And that was actually to piggyback on your question, Ryan. I wanted to kind of ask if Goodwill had a wish list for the future, and then also you had a wish list for the community, what would it look like?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for what Goodwill's wish list is, but I do think that if people understand what we do with our services, I think our biggest wish would be to have people consider us as a primary entity for donations. We sincerely appreciate donations. As I mentioned, it really is the fuel that makes the engine run. And that being said, I encourage people to come and shop. You never know what sort of bargains that you're going to find here at Goodwill. And I think that it's kind of like a neat kind of hunt, if you will, for different things. So I encourage people to come and take advantage of it. And as a result, it'll support the services. And I also encourage you to come on in, either come on in and get a brochure about our services, or go online to the goodwillnm.org website to find out about what we do with the revenue, so you get a good feel for how the money is actually utilized. The other question is just what I would want. Is that correct?
Yeah. Any direction you want to take it. So, yeah.
I would like people in the community just to see that there's always opportunity. Sometimes I think, there's a lot of things going on in today's society about what is not. But oddly enough, there's always a lot of what there is. And so I encourage people to explore, to find new ways to develop themselves, to find new ways to grow, and then to also find ways to help other people. I think that everybody in this world, we all depend on one another. And, from time to time, we all need a little nudge in the right direction. And sometimes there are people that are more able to nudge in the right direction than oneself. And there's that age-old expression, two heads are better than one. So to be able to work a little bit more collaboratively as a community and as individuals, as opposed to, whether someone has an R at the end of their title or a D at the end of their title. But to be able to work a little bit more collaboratively to be able to help resolve some of these community challenges that we face.
I'm going to dive into the fun questions.
Oh, okay.
All right, there's no gotcha questions. I'm just curious. So, Ramon, you're a native New Mexican. Tell us a little bit about your background in New Mexico, and then Ryan's going to ask the big question.
So I'm originally from Taos, New Mexico. I've lived in Taos, oddly enough, though, only the first 6 years of my life. We moved to Albuquerque. My dad was an educator, chemistry, physics teacher. And so he became an educational consultant. So we had the opportunity to live in Central and South America. So I actually graduated from an American Academy down in Quito, Ecuador. So I am bilingual. It does give me a lot of perspective of the United States and New Mexico from the perspective of other countries, which is very different. It also allowed me to see other cultures, and I've been able to travel quite a bit as well. So, but I love New Mexico. I'm not a big fan of real populated metro areas such as the East and West Coast. In fact, I've actually been doing my best to stay away from them now because I do like New Mexico. I like to stream fish and get up into Southern Colorado as well as New Mexico to stream fish. So
I'll let you have at it. I know you really enjoy this part.
I really do, because there's two questions we ask everybody, and they're really important questions, especially for New Mexicans. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First one is red or green?
I'm a red fan because it's generally hotter.
Okay. And the second one is, if you're going to go somewhere in Albuquerque for really good red chili and not a relative's house, where do you go?
I love Cervantes.
And I was going to expand it to Santa Fe in northern New Mexico because you are from northern New Mexico. I don't know if you have a favorite up there as well, but I was going to expand that a little bit. So,
well, when it comes to red or green chili, I think Albuquerque is the right place to come.
Okay.
So I'll just say that. And I do believe Cervantes is a great place to go.
So do you think that because you're from northern New Mexico, it's influenced you towards the red chili? Or did you kind of come to that on your own?
I think everybody's got, taste preferences, and I really like heat more than anything. So, I mean, if someone has a green chili, it's hotter and red, I'll take the green. But generally, I find the red to be a little tastier and also generally hotter.
And the second question I'm going to ask is, let's say somebody's coming to New Mexico for the first time. They've never been here. They have no idea what to expect. Where do you send them? What do you tell them to do and check out? What are the things that you would suggest to them?
Well, I think we've got a lot of things to check out. So here in the Albuquerque area, I encourage people to start with the Old Town area. It kind of gives you a little bit of a flavor of, how Albuquerque grew, from where we came from and where we are now. I also encourage people to get outside of the city. So whether it's the Acoma Pueblo area, visit the Pueblos for sure. I think that would be a great thing to do because you can sample other culture. Even getting up into the Sandia Mountains on the tram is always a neat and fun thing to do. And then just visiting other places in New Mexico. Gallup has a great Native American population, and that is something to be experienced. I also think Santa Fe and Taos have a lot of different things to experience. And then there's other different places in New Mexico that you can go for other types of recreation, whether it be skiing in the winter, although this winter it's a little bit rough unless you go to northern New Mexico, or just, hiking or biking.
For someone who's job searching right now, what's the first step they should do when it comes to Goodwill? Like what's step one? What should they do?
Well, I encourage them to, first of all, just give us a call so we can schedule them for an appointment. What I have found in working with employers is employers generally would say that most people need support finding employment. And when I say that, you know, that their resume could be fine-tuned, could change to be able to match the needs of the employer. And in addition to that, even what interview talking points, especially for the higher paying jobs. And people really struggle with that. Generally in high school, people don't get exposed to that. And generally in college, they don't get exposed to that. So people are on their own to be able to find that information. And yes, you could Google that. But once you start getting into the world of the internet, it's hard to figure out where to go. There are so many options. You really start to get actually more confused than you are trying to find specific answers. And so what we try and do is improve a person's odds of success by providing them with very specific guidance for the type of role that they want, and also specific guidance on how to effectively communicate to the employer so that they improve their odds of success. I've always said that it's not enough to know that you're right for the role. You have to be able to effectively communicate why you're right for the role. And I've always said, it's not the best person for the job who always gets the job. It's the person who interviews the best. So particularly for the higher paying jobs. So there's different things that we can do to help put someone in a position to improve their odds of success.
This has kind of been a live question that I've been following various different outlets, LinkedIn, whatever. What do you think a healthy hiring process looks like, and what does a healthy time frame look like?
A healthy hiring process from the employer's perspective or the job seeker's?
From the employer's perspective.
Okay. From the employer's perspective, I think employers want to fill positions as quickly as possible. Now, that being said, there are differences in how companies bring people on. So there are small organizations that will post an announcement, and then they'll interview as people either come in or as those applications come in. Those organizations tend to have to hire almost immediately, because if it's a small organization, they're missing one person, then their productivity is significantly impaired. Their ability to perform their roles effectively, the quality of service, et cetera. So, but beyond that, the medium or larger businesses will post an announcement. They'll definitely filter the applications for the quality of the people that they're looking for. Generally, that just takes between 3 and 5 days, and they'll schedule interviews, of course. And their goal is to have those interviews done generally in a week to a 2-week period maximum, because they'd like to see someone start within 2 to 3 weeks, ideally. Because any more than that, and again, you're challenging your business to perform at a level that maybe they cannot do without the right people or the right numbers of people in order to be able to do that. So most companies will follow that kind of a process. They may also have second interviews, particularly for the higher paying jobs. They want to make sure that they're getting the right candidate, and they may need more than one interview session to make sure a person fits the role effectively.
Is there a secret to keeping good employees? What do you think that is?
Well, I think there is. I mean, certainly there's always some basics that I think employers can provide that will help with retention. And certainly pay will always be one of them. People always want to get more money. But by the same token, not all companies have the same benefits. You know, whether a company pays for medical or dental, or a percentage of medical or dental, paid time off, holiday pay, a lot of 401k, 403b type of programs to help with retirement, tuition reimbursement programs, etc. So in that respect, I think people should look at a whole package and not just one thing before they start to move on. But you also, in order to retain people, you have to have positive dynamics in the work environment. So I do like and encourage employers to, not necessarily be very impulsive in the hiring process. Take your time in hiring. Try and find out if this person's not only going to be a good fit for the role, but a good fit for the business. Because I think that the better the dynamics in the workplace, the more effective any company can perform effectively, and as well as the service that they deliver, the product quality that they deliver. So I think that there's a lot to be said for positive dynamics in the workplace, and that could be in the form of just simply recognition. Thank yous go a huge, long way. Providing them with enough training so that they can be comfortable, competent, confident. And then in addition to that, providing them with growth opportunities. And sometimes it may not be promotional opportunities, but there could be opportunities for growing in the way a person performs their role. So I think all of those things kind of are a package that I think helps with what you would call employee engagement, and that will help retain people. So, and sometimes it's also doing just the opposite. Sometimes people make mistakes in hiring, and so there are sometimes people who aren't a good fit, but to allow someone who's a good fit to stay in an organization can often be very counterproductive and can actually destroy that the team dynamics and the workplace dynamics that I mentioned. So you have to be able to balance both as an employer, and sometimes that can be a little difficult, but also necessary.
I want to ask one more technical question, if you will. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you see when people bring you their resume and they say, well, here's my resume, here it is. What are some of the things you see that you're like, oh, we need to correct that, or oh, we should adjust that? What are some things that you see that maybe people don't understand about resumes or that they need to consider when building their resume?
The biggest thing that I think that see that is one of the biggest misses is that the people generally just focus on their own duties, what they performed in each role. And they don't focus as much on some of the soft skills that help someone perform a role successfully, but also talking about some of the accomplishments, successes, recognition that they've had in all the different positions that they've held. Generally, when someone is interviewing for a job, they're interviewing alongside of people who have similar work histories and skill sets. So if all you're doing is just talking about your duties, you're not differentiating yourself. So one of the things that you want to do is talk about how you've been able to successfully perform the role. And then in addition to that, trying to create a connection of what you've done and how it will help you perform this new role effectively as well. So being able to understand the job description, and you know, from the job description, it can also help you tailor a resume to make sure that you're able to communicate what the employer wants to see that make you right for the job, as opposed to just having a resume that's very generic and just duties focused and not necessarily focusing on their needs and wants.
So I know that Goodwill not only invites the community in its doors, but it also goes out into the community and does a lot in the community. If somebody or an organization or a business or wanted to come and kind of say, hey, you know, what does Goodwill have to offer us? How can they get a hold of you and what can they expect in that regard?
First of all, what can they expect? One of the things that we do is we'll do some general informational sessions to organizations that may not really understand what Goodwill does. Most people know the stores, the donations, they don't understand the services. So often we like to get in front of people for a short 15-minute mini presentation on what our services are and how we can help their organization in that community. But that way that organization is better informed on what we do and they can funnel people to us for the services that we do provide. In addition to that, we do a lot of I would consider value-added types of presentations for the community. We can go in and talk to a group on, you know, job search best practices. We can also break that down and get into great detail on how should resumes be written, you know, the content and format and so forth. Or maybe it's interview talking points. We can even do soft skills, money management. So we're available for those types of presentations. It could be a half an hour to an hour long for a group. We generally like to keep the groups smaller, 10 to 25 people. It allows a little more interaction than you might get for the real large types of groups. So, but those are things that we can do for the community that will help us, help them, and the participants for the different programs that they may have within their organizations.
Just thinking back, and I know my answers, but curious for you, thinking back in your job career, in your career up till now, who is your favorite boss and why?
Oddly enough, it was a person who was hyper-structured and was very different than me altogether. And I might have been an outsider looking in at that time, but the gentleman, his name was Don Wilkins, believed in me and believed that I could grow and evolve and change. And actually gave me opportunities, and where I think a lot of other people would have struggled, because I was rough around the edges when I started. I came out of college, you know, with an ego. I think most college students come out of college with an ego. And I needed to grow. I needed to develop. I needed to understand how to be an effective supervisor and an effective employee. And so he was able to take time to mentor and develop and coach. And oddly enough, we were very, very different personalities, but we both accepted the differences and understood how we can both benefit one another.
And then final question, Ryan, final question.
Jeez, this is so final.
I know. The finishing point. Okay. No, so my final question was going to, I was going to ask you, what makes a good leader?
I think a good leader needs to understand one thing. And I think that one of the biggest challenges of a good leader is to help people understand that they can do more than they think is possible. And so understanding that almost everyone can do more than they think is possible, to be able to put people in a position where they can grow and have guidance and feedback that's positive for sure, but also some guidance and feedback that will help them grow. And you know, you hear a lot of the term constructive criticism. That's very scary for some people, or accountability is very scary for some people. So the ability of a leader to be able to frame guidance in a manner that people are comfortable with and not afraid of. Because I think most people, when they interact with an employer, sometimes are afraid of that constructive criticism, that accountability speak, if you will. But yet in every organization, it's actually necessary because every organization has to deliver quality, product, service, value. So I think it's important to have high standards, but to be able to recognize that people can do more, and most importantly, are willing to do more, and then finding ways to train them to provide guidance that's in a non-threatening manner, but in an encouraging manner, so that they not only want to grow, but they look for ways to grow. And in that respect, you know, hopefully the environment will not have a lot of people who complain, but focus more on finding best practices that others are doing. You see a lot of very troublesome work environments where people are always criticizing one another. And we can all do that. We all have shortcomings. But the reality is we all have great strengths, every single person. And for people to be able to see those strengths and have a leader that can point out those strengths and identify those strengths and provide recognition, I think that people will feel very, very comfortable in that kind of a work environment and grow. And I think as a supervisor, I think your job actually gets easier and you earn respect. And then, as importantly, people learn to like the organization and are very engaged with the mission and the values and delivering on the outcomes that the organization would like to achieve.
Is there anything else you'd like to share for people who are listening? Maybe they want to find out more about Goodwill or you just pearls of wisdom, whatever.
Well, I just encourage people to, you know, contact us. If you're out looking for employment or you want to take advantage of the veterans programs or the senior program or our production assistant program or even the computer-based training program that will come up, just to call us. You can go to our website, most certainly, goodwillnm.org. All those free services are listed there. And then if you'd like to call, you're welcome to reach out to me. I like to give people my direct number. I'm not uncomfortable with that. If anybody reaches out or if you know someone who would need such services, you can just say, call that guy, Ramon. But my number is 505-881-6401, and my direct extension is 1815. And then just finish off by saying, you know, we sincerely do appreciate donations and purchases at Goodwill. It really is the fuel that makes the engine run. And so we do want to thank you very much for providing us the opportunity to serve the community as a result of different donations and purchases that help us deliver those community-based service programs and our skills training programs and our job development services.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking your time to meet with us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Albuquerque, and thanks for listening to What's Up ABQ, Albuquerque's very own podcast. Every week, Ryan and Lindsay talk to the people who add unique flavor and make a positive impact to our fair city. We help point you to the places you need to see, visit, or patronize, and to do this costs some time and resources. So, without sounding too needy, could you help us out by pitching some funds our way? You can drop some bucks in the tip jar by donating at whatsupabq.com. And if you know about a local business or establishment that should be featured, or you own one yourself, drop us a line at abqwhatsup@gmail.com. Again, the website is whatsupabq.com, and the email is abqwhatsup@gmail.com. We've also got a few sponsorship spots open, so get in touch with us soon to reserve your business's time on the show. What's Up ABQ is produced by Lindsay and Ryan with post-production assistance from me, Paul Nixon, at paulnixonvo.com. Make sure and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Tell your friends about us, and thanks for listening.